Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of our podcast 1000 Years of Beer. A warm welcome for me, Matthias, international brand ambassador and brewer from the Weinstephan Brewery, the world's oldest brewery, and from my co-host, our online marketing manager, Anton.
Hi everybody and welcome to another episode. And this time we're actually not in the brewery museum. We're in the brewmaster office, which is probably next to the brew house, one of the holy sanctuaries here in the brewery, because there's always beer, as we experienced here, because we right when we entered, we got served one of our hazy pilsners right from the tank, which is probably one of the best beers you can get here.
And guess what? Who we are talking today when we're in the brewmaster's office? Of course, we talk to our facility manager, no, to our brewmaster, Tobias. Toby, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, welcome everybody.
I just want to do a small introduction from you to your person. And so you were born 1982, and after you grew up here in Bavaria, you have done an apprenticeship as brewer and maltster at a small private-owned Bavarian brewery. And there you worked then also as a brewer for many years. About 6 years you worked as a brewer in the brewery and in a soda factory, something like that. After this, you studied for 2 years in Munich at the Dömenz Academy, becoming brewmaster. And then you went for a few years to Switzerland to be work as a brewmaster at the Feldschlösschen Brewery, and then you came back in 2015 as brewmaster here in Weinstephan in the world's oldest brewery. Correct? Yeah. Everything correct?
That's right, yeah.
Didn't mess it up?
No, that's right. That's perfect. So.
Perfect. And first question, brewmaster in the world's oldest brewery, Tobias. How does this sound still now a few years after you got the job? I mean, is it an honor? Maybe a burden? What do you think about it? How does it feel? How does it sound?
It sounds amazing, and it feels amazing, and it's, of course, it's a big honor, but it's also a challenge every day, of course.
Because people are expecting so much from you and your beers?
Yes, of course. But that's good that people expect that, yeah.
But, okay, start. Let's start at the beginning. You're, as a brewmaster, are responsible for the production of our beers. But, of course, you're not doing this alone. There are a few brewmasters on your team, a few brewers, other guys working maybe in the packaging department, maintenance. So a lot of different people at jobs and responsibilities inside the technical department of the brewery. So will you give us an introduction on all of that and how this is managed or how this is combined together?
Yeah, as you said, we have a lot of people here. So in the technical department of the brewery, we have run about 80 people. So in the production overhead, it's more or less 9 or 10 people. So 4 brewmasters. So myself for the production and recipes and all the people. My colleague Philip is responsible for filling and packaging. And Sina is responsible mainly for the quality management and all that stuff. So we have some guys or ladies in the technical
controlling
more or less. That's right, yeah. And also for the maintenance, so there's a head of maintenance. We have brewers and helpers and forklift drivers and people in the maintenance. So that's the rest of the people. So 60, 70 people who are brewers and are brewing or filling or maintaining or all the stuff.
Moving the beer.
That's
keeping
right.
The brewery alive.
So you already said that. I mean, when we look at how many people actually are working here, it's obvious that your job is not only being responsible for the beer, but it's also managing a lot. Is that correct, or is it mostly beer?
Yeah, that's right. So a big part of my job is managing and planning. All the people, mainly the people planning or managing all the stuff or answering all the questions coming up every day. Can imagine 80 people, they have a lot of concerns and wishes and as you know, and but that's one of my big part. Yeah, that's right. So I'm not at the
but just managing or brewing, it's also brewing, managing so human resources.
It's more managing of the whole technical department.
Yeah, but so in the daily business, the brewers are like making the beer because they are working in the shifts in the brew house or in the cellar or in the packaging department. So they are doing the hands-on work inside the brewery. A job you have done before in your apprenticeship and when you worked as a brewer in the different other breweries and companies. Is this something you miss from time to time, or was it always like your goal to get at one point, I want to become brewmaster and then work as a brewmaster? So was this always the thing you have imagined your career, or was it like at some point you were thinking, I don't know, I don't want to be work in the cold cellar anymore. Maybe let's get brewmaster.
No, to be honest, so first thing was when you start thinking about what you want to do in the future. So you look at different jobs and to see what you like or not. So for me, it was clear. I don't want to sit the whole day and just on a desk. So just see my four walls. So I want to do something. I want to see something. I want to go around and work. So real work, you know. So that's why I said, okay, I want to do an apprenticeship in a small brewery, very manual things, so to learn it from the very beginning. So to know everything in the brewery, to know what's going on there. So not just sitting at the computer, so okay, this is the future or this is the present now. So we have also a lot of computer-controlled departments in Van Stefan, but you have to know how it works, to know to talk about that. So that's very important. So that's why I said I wanted to learn it from the beginning, and then worked as a brewer some years. But it was always clear that I wanted to do more. So want to have more responsibilities for recipes, for beer, for people. That's why I decided to go to Dürmitz for studying the brewmaster.
Mm. So it was like a development at some point, so that you said, then yeah, let's go the next step. And
yes, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, very interesting. So let's get to brewing beer. I mean, everyone who ever brewed beer or learned about brewing or had done a brewery tour sees it's a very complex process. You're starting with four different raw materials, only four raw materials, because we're brewing to the Bavarian Brewery de Law, very important. They are just four raw materials for beer. That's it. Not more, not less.
Yeah, that's right.
so
yeah, maybe it's sometimes more difficult or harder to do it, but it's yeah. So we can do that, and we are proud.
This is how we do it. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm start singing.
Don't do it. I'll take over here. when we look at our portfolio, we have 15 different beers and a Radler. So
yeah,
let's call it. We have 16 different products.
What's that?
And nobody knows. And we also have or do export business in over 50 different countries. So what we see here is a lot of different labels on the bottles, different bottles, different packaging. I can imagine that this is all very complicated to manage because there's a whole lot of different things to look out for. Maybe take us through that a little bit. How do you plan your production? How do you manage your team?
Yeah, that's indeed very complex, and it's not so easy to handle. So that's why we have a planning department, and that's why we have to talk a lot with our distribution, with our sales guys, with our logistic guys, just to have an idea what's going on the next year. So because there's a long-term planning, so we need to know how many products or raw materials I have to order for next year, or bottles or crates or everything else. So that's what we need to know in advance. So there's just one harvest per year, so I have to take enough of this barley crop or hops crop to have enough for the next brew year. So this is the long-term planning. Short or middle-term planning is when we We need to plan or brew our beer because we have 6 weeks in advance. So it's not that easy. One customer calls, so I need a crate of beer. Can I get one? And I say, no, you have, I need to know that 6 weeks before. So that's, I cannot answer that, but I have that in mind. So that's why we need to know more or less, we need a forecast from our national and export distributors or customers to know more or less how much beer, which beer type, just the type, we need in which season or month of the year. And the short time planning is so that the detailed plan, the filling plan or brewing plan, to know what we have to do next week. So we have the beer, we brewed 6 weeks before, and now let's split it up. How much in this barrel or in bottle, small bottle, big bottle, which of them for national, what from that to, I don't know, six packs, cartons for overseas export. So that's the short-term planning. And there we have to talk every day with our logistic teams and every day with our sales guys just to fulfill the customer needs.
So that tells us something about how you actually go into the process of production planning. But when you look at your daily routines or weekly routines, I mean, you said that you plan weeks and even 1 year ahead. But how does your daily work look like, or what does it look like? Is it always the same, or just take us through that a little bit?
Yeah, some things are routines, of course. So when we start in the morning, so 6:30, 7 in the morning, we start, we meet, the brewmaster team is meeting, and we go through the brewery. So we start our production travel or walk at the brew house. Then we go through all departures from fermentation cellar, storage cellar, to filtration, filling, packaging, everything. So it's more or less 1 hour when we go through, talk with the people, what happened the last 24 hours, what will happen the next 24 hours. Are there some problems? Are there some concerns? Is there something broken we have to fix? I don't know. So it's just the daily business. And of course, also in that way, in this walk, we have to taste the beer for to give them free for filling or for the next step in the production. So quality is also a big point of that. After that, we are meet in the office together, bring this informations to our planning department. For example, there's something broken. I need to talk with my maintenance manager. Okay, there's a pump broken in the brew house. Please go there, fix it. Production planning. We have a delay in brew house because the pump is broken. So please reschedule the plan. So that's the short information, and we have to give all the guys. Then we call the logistic guys in our logistic center, so they are in the same city, but 5 minutes away from here with the car. So that's why we have to do a telephone conference every day to keep them updated and to keep us updated what's going on in logistics. Is there unexpected high demand of one product, for example, to maybe reschedule the plan also for that. After that, we are focusing on our main part. So me for production, Philip on filling and packaging, Sina quality and so on. And me myself, so this is technical or the raw material purchasing or the projects, recipes, human resources for technical department, all the stuff, some meetings, or some guys come in with a microphone and want to ask something, what are you doing the whole day? So what are you doing? Just drinking beer? Yeah. And in summertime, so it's just, or more or less, it's high production beer brewing. And wintertime is, we also brew some beer and fill, so we have not that high season as other breweries because we have a lot of export markets. So somewhere in the world is always summer. So wintertime is also a lot of production, but we can schedule in the wintertime all the maintenance or projects.
Does it happen a lot that you have to reschedule in the morning after your telephone conference with logistics or anything? So is there a lot of high demand on some days, or is it just, you know, we're prepared for everything?
You cannot prepare for everything. So if I know in advance everything exactly, I wouldn't work in the brewery. I would sit on a small island with my with a lot of money I won in the lottery. So so that's why we. But we try to go to get better day by day. So that's why we have a production planning department, and they are very short informations connected with the sales guys and with logistics. So we're getting better step by step. So there are some special years like this year's when we had a very long lockdown. After that, all the people ran out and drank a lot of beer. So we had a more than a high demand in the this summer. We want to fulfill that, of course, but you cannot plan that. So that's sometimes, of course, it happens to reschedule. But it's getting better, and plans are not changed that often than in the past.
This means that, you know, not just brewing beer is very complex. Also, I mean, managing the brewery, actually. And even it's only, you know, don't get it wrong, but it's only the technical department and not the whole brewery. But on the other side, this is just producing the beer. Yeah. But how about, especially here in Weihenstephan, where we're at this historic spot, how about those projects like new equipment, new installing something, because it's all protected architecture here. Yeah. We don't have actually any space because, you know, we need to tear down maybe a lecture hall from the university if we want to have new tanks. Yeah? So, I mean, how is it to move along that obstacles here when you want to you know, bring something new equipment in here? And also, you know, you're doing their decisions that's maybe not with the raw materials. They're maybe a one-year decision with hops or malt you're purchasing and buying. When you're like having a new filter or a new brew house or new tanks, this is, I mean, for 4 or 5 decades. I mean, this is a different decision, and that impacts the brewery a little bit different. How do you, you know, handle that?
Yeah, that's indeed not that easy because, as you said, we are limited in space here on the Weihenstephan Hill. That's why we have to think carefully and very exactly about what we want to build or install. So one advantage is we are here in Freising or in Weihenstephan or in the Bavarian region. So we have the brewery, we have the Weihenstephan University, we have a lot of, we have the Hallertau with the hops and the hops research. We have a lot of manufacturing of brewing equipment. So as Tissi always said, it's Silicon Valley of the brewery, of the brewing industry. So that's a big advantage. So, and we use that. So we go there to the university to see what's the newest in science or ideas. So we go to the manufacturer and say, okay, what are you developing? What is going on? How can we get better if we want to install something new? So of course we have our idea of brewing, our technology. So for example, we have a double mash in the brew house. So the decoction mash. So that's important for us because this is one part of our beer taste. So we want to keep that. So if we install, for example, if we want to install a new brew house, we need to have 2 vessels for this decoction. But we want it on the newest technology and in the highest quality and hygienic design, of course, to be able to brew the best beers. And because we have a limited space, so that's why we have to think about in the future what can come in the future, maybe if we want to grow or go in this direction or this direction, to know where to build. So not to waste any space or to do it as flexible as possible.
Yeah, I mean, this is something I can imagine is real challenging here. Because, you know, if you plan one thing and then the next day someone comes, yeah, no, you can't do that because you're not allowed to do, because this is a wall that is maybe a few hundred years old. You can't move that. Yeah, you're not allowed to. And so I guess modern brewing in this old walls is, yeah, it can be a very challenging thing on the one side, but yeah. On the other side, I mean, that's, I guess, right. That's a Weihenstephan spirit, right?
Yeah, that's the spirit. That's best description. So we always think about, so, okay, that's cool. We can brew here and that's in the same walls and the same spot where our founder, Corbinian, brewed 1,000 years ago, already brewed. So that's really cool to be here. And we want to keep that spirit. So we don't want to build a beer factory and somewhere at the outside of the city. So we want to have this spot because this is the special spot. And of course, we have to, it's more... more building reconstruction or talking with some people who want to keep the site or everything than just installing technical equipment. But yeah, it makes it more special to have it here and to be here. And when you're somewhere in the world, you know it's from really the old spot, the original spot.
It's from here, yeah. That's, I guess, one of the things that a lot of people that are visiting the brewery are mentioning a lot. When they're the first time here, they were like, yeah, I mean, this is not somewhere in an industrial area or I don't know where, you know, where you have a lot of commercial. This is in the middle of a campus, actually, yeah? I mean, they're all surrounded by lecture halls and laboratories and whatever, close to the old town of Freising. And people are like, yeah, okay, this is something real. This is not something, okay, here's an industry area, let's build their brewery. No, this is something grown, something very historical.
So what we've seen now is that your job is way more than just brewing beer and, you know, just have the supervision of the brewers. It's way more than that, because why I'm talking about this now is because a lot of people think that, you know, being a brewmaster is drinking beer, tasting beer, and that's pretty much it, and you get paid for that. But it sounds like a dream job, but it's way more than that. So
yeah, this is Tissy's job. I don't want to get that job from him.
Exactly, so. That's what he gets paid for. So
don't steal my job. Yeah. It's a nice thing to do.
I will never do that. As I always says, he is my minister for foreign affairs. So he is my hand over out in the market. So,
but what are your personal highlights or your personal favorites of about this job? What is it that you value the highest?
Yeah, so my job is very busy, very loud, and we have a lot of calls the whole day. And I sometimes it's a very spreaded brewery, so we have to run more than 10,000 steps per day. So. And it's very fast, as I said, and a lot of work to do, sometimes more than 10 hours. But anyway, I'm always happy when I come home, and I'm always happy on Sunday when I know, okay, on Monday I can go in a brewery. So not just in a brewery, I go to Weinstephan. So that's true. So that's, I'm not saying that because of this podcast here. So that's true. So this is very special. So I have a good team, cool guys here. We all have the same passion for beer, and it's very fun. So I love to be here and to do this job every day. But if you want to point out some highlights, so what is really cool is you can really develop something. So I can do something for the brewery, so develop recipes, for example. So as our new Helles we launched last year, so it was my recipe. I could do it from the very beginning. I could propose a recipe. Of course, I have a lot of guys who are also tasting the beers in every production step and is within this development process. But at the end, I can propose something and can develop something. So and when it comes to the market and the people like it, so that's really cool. Really cool feedback.
And what comes along with that is also meeting customers, and because you not only are responsible for the product itself, but you're also, if it's something special, you get to travel the world, which is a part of your job. But this is something that we focus on in part two. So
definitely, and one other thing I wanted to ask Tobias then, because you know, what are brewmasters doing? A little bit hangover. On the next day before they're flying home to Germany, in Los Angeles?
This is also
a good question, right?
A very good question.
Maybe we have some inside intel before we start part two, and to keep you the tension high, to tune in the second part of our podcast.
Exactly. We'll see you at the second part.